You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
You're tuned in to QLJNRadio.com, the hot new Q, and this is Cocktail Conversation. Let's be honest, what keeps people around in your life? If that person has a great conversation, that keeps you engaged and you enjoy being in their presence. Physical attraction is lovely, but the gift of gab builds foundation of growth. The issue we have today is that we don't know what to believe or what not to believe. Great, articulate, effective communications are often viewed as used car salesmen. How do we know when a conversation is genuine and authentic? Here are the controversial counselors' four essential talking points. Number one, words without actions will usually get you tuned out early and often. Number two, some people simply bring the best out of you, allowing you to open up with total comfort. Number three, if you have to keep telling someone how much you have it going on, you probably don't have much going on. And number four, you should not be in competition with your partner or their ex. The ultimate goal is joining forces with that person to build a dream team. Phone lines are open. It is 914-205-5481. And then press 1. And now, here's the host of Cocktail Conversations, the controversial counselor himself, David Lorenzo Glover.
All right. What's going on, good people? Another week, another good show, another great topic. Well, you know, some of these topics, they always seem like they're going to run in together, but I think that's human nature. And, you know, we've started out years ago, like 4 years ago, talking about communication and highly effective communication and things like that to prepare yourself to be the best that you can be. And here we are, 4 years later, still talking about these same conversations. Now, I know some people have been with me during these 4 years. Damn, that's a long time to think about it. 4 years. Almost 4 years. And some have maybe just joined. But the key to it all is the communication piece. You can't have anything effective without having communication skills. And how this conversation came about is one of my posts, and it kind of had something to do with Bill Cosby in that situation. Now, I'm not about to go all into that and my views on it, because that's a whole show. But what I said was basically, you don't have to drug someone, get them drunk, to scrape the bottom of a woman's pudding cup. And you get it, pudding, Bill Cosby, kind of goes together. Everything somewhat, somehow ends up being connected. You just have to have good old gift of gab. And for one, if you think about a situation like that, if you have the woman and she's coming to see you, or you get yourself in her doors, that's half the battle. And the rest is kind of up to you, how engaging you could be. Could you peep her interest and things like that. So there's never really a need to try to take advantage of someone. And it always killed me if you're out with a lady and, you know, or they stop by your house and, you know, you're making a cocktail or something and you know what you drink, so you kind of, they tell you to make it, you might get a little slippery with the riff and pump it a couple times and, oh, you trying to get me drunk, take advantage of me. Nah, baby. Then if that's the case, you don't need to drink, because there's no need for all of that. That's what losers do, try to get somebody ripped and then take advantage of them. Because if you, again, have that engaging conversation, that gifted gab, then, you know, you can go places. So when I posted that, of course, someone responded back as if that was like a chauvinistic comment, which, and I said, well, tell me, where am I wrong in this? Because we all know that if you're a good communicator and you're engaging, there's opportunity that you could scrape the bottom of someone's pudding cup. Now, I didn't say in the post like it was like a one night thing or whatever the case. This could be over a duration of time, but of course people only deal with the here and now when they read stuff, and they don't think about, oh, maybe he's talking about down the road. So they just chime in based on there. And then, you know, well, then they go to, well, you never said how long it was, or you didn't give all the details. Again, people, and I'm probably going to say this for the hundredth time. If when I put out statements or posts, you're never going to have all the details. There's not too many cases that people have all the details. Even when you watch the local news or whatever, it's a write-up or article. They give you a little snippet of what they know or what that person shares you. So the ultimate goal of cocktail conversations would be for you to draw your own conclusions based on your life experiences, maybe based on your education, maybe based on family values, you know, upbringing, your community, socioeconomic status. There's an array of things that could cause you to answer the way that you answer. The beauty of it all is that you'll find out different people from different situations, different religious standpoints and things like that answer differently. So when I have people to say, this is kind of vague, there's not enough information for me to answer. Oftentimes there's not enough information for you to answer, but your nosy ass is always sticking your nose in something and have something to say. So you can't have it both ways. So in this case, I'm going to push you to kind of think outside the box, to say, interesting. Well, maybe this situation is like that because of this or because of that. So I just want people to understand that when they see things like that, it's going to, sometimes you just have to draw your own conclusions or think outside the box. When you're at work and your boss or supervisor gives you a project to do, or they tell you they need you to do research, they don't say, here's the answers right here, and this is what I want you to come up with. They usually kind of let you have to kind of work through it. You may have to do some research. You may have to do some collaboration with someone else. So same thing with the cocktail conversations. Sometimes the answers are just not there, but you may have to go back and kind of, you know, think about it. And I'm not saying all during the time when you're responding and then you come back 4 days later, but it may take you back to a certain situation and it may cause you to kind of reflect before you just start tapping away at the keyboard. And then, you know, I'm waiting. You're going to get caught. You're going to slip up on something, and then, you know, I'm going to hone in and I'm going to use that to my advantage. Now, again, with the gifted gab, or Before I get into that, oh, let me just update you. I just got caught up on that. You know, sometimes I just get very confused and annoyed by people antics. So, finally, spring has got here, or maybe summer, weather beautiful. I know everybody will be enjoying that. I see people pulling out their little sundresses, their little sandals that they know damn well that strap was broken from last year when you had them, but you're still putting them out, trying to make it work, you know, the little shorts and things like that. So it's that time of the year that people are, you know, attitudes, that weather, kind of, and I just have a show of talking about that the other time when you talk about the Saritan and all that stuff is up, and it kind of causes people to be a little more happy and a little more festive, and that usually happens in the spring, summertime, that the dark days of the winter is gone, and now it's more light, and people are just, you know, ready to have a little fun. So we've hit that point. I'm glad of that. But with me, school time, it usually bring animosity and little children cutting up, or little children coming to school half naked when they're supposed to have on clothes, and they talking about it's too hot and stuff like that, and they're going to wear it because their parents bought it, and the designers make clothes skimpy for them to buy it, so I have to deal with that. But that's that. What else is going on? So, got a couple things in the back burner. Like I mentioned last week, I'm going to be part of a new show, under the network WMSK, .com, and that's stationed out of Baltimore. So, you know, I'm going to have a show. I'm trying to debate, is it going to be the Counselor's Corner or the Controversial Counselor Corner? Something of that nature, but you know it's going to be me in my corner, still doing what I do, trying to get people to think outside the box and maybe get hit on their head. And so that's coming up real soon, and I'll keep you posted on that. Also, been in discussion with a couple other TV networks about going on for potential interviews. And, you know, more exposure is exposure. It's all good. So one of them is in Toronto. The other is in Philadelphia. So I'm just waiting for confirmation emails from them for our dates. I'll keep you posted on that. Of course, you know, I get there, had an interview, hopefully I'll be able to play it back and you'll be able to see it. So those things are on the rise. I look forward to those opportunities. And, again, I'm going to live it up and have fun on Cocktail Conversations as we get ready to close out on our time on this show. But I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to belabor on that, because I want the energy to be high for tonight's show. And I definitely want to hear people come in and give their feedback. But first I want to get into these, you know, essential talking points about the gifted gab goes a long way. So the first one was words without actions in the long haul usually gets you tuned out early and often. So if you're that used salesman or that person who can talk up a good game but you have no action to back it up, it's just going to be pretty much like the little boy that cried with, like, nothing you says is going to matter unless you bring some action to it. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you could talk and there may not be the action that they're looking for, but you have a nice little balance and they know that you're capable of producing action. But when you talk and you just have no substance behind it, then more than likely it's going to be meaningless conversation. And I don't know, some people get personal entertainment off of that, and they may keep you around because, in other words, they may be just bored. And, again, remember this, fellas. Sometimes women go out with you because they simply don't want to cook that day or whatever the case is. I know you're going to have some people mumbling and grumbling, like, oh, I can go buy my own meal, or I can cook my own food. I don't need to just go out with some lame. But it happens. We know it does. And most people could say, yeah, I went on a date like that because he asked me at that time, and I was like, shit, I just went out and ate, but it was nothing else to it. I was on my phone most of the evening or whatever the case is. So that conversation piece is always going to be important. And, you know, we've been talking about this stuff a long time, and they say it's a lost art, communication, good communication, especially from men, because we're so direct with our responses, whereas women will provide more details. And, you know, some women, you just got to be prepared to, even though they'll say prepared to talk, sometimes you just got to be prepared to be an effective listener, because most of the time they dominate a conversation. And not in all cases, but And we'll talk about those type of conversations and how they should transpire, and how to make that a win-win, or a situation that you're scraping the bottom of the pudding cup, or you're coming around, or maybe you're getting, maybe you're getting the opportunity to spend time with her in her home, or just dates period, or she's coming to visit you. So it's all about progression. It's all about a process. I guess you have to trust it. Ain't that the hot term going around? Trust the process, right? So that's number one. Number two, some people simply bring the best out of you, and you open up with total comfort. And there's people that, you converse with, and you just never thought that you would open up and share anything with. You used to be quiet and keep to yourself, but now this person has given you a spark or a little twinkle in your eye, and you're all about sharing, and y'all just gel perfectly. The conversation's on point. It's a nice balance that you talk, she listens, and vice versa, and they just bring the best out of you. And when those situations happen, it's kind of like it's a great thing that you want to communicate with this person. You look forward to talking to them, and I think we talked about that, I don't know if it was last week, the other week, when you have those times that, you said texts, or you look forward to a call on their lunch break or his lunch break. So there are times where, and that comes from good communication and a person making you feel good about yourself. But first and furthermore, you already have to be able to feel good about yourself to begin with. But sometimes people bring that extra greatness out of you that you didn't know, or was just kind of, it was dormant over the years. So, but again, it usually comes from good communication. All right, number three. And feel free to come in at any time. So if you're listening online and you want to call in, the number is 914-205-5481. You press 1 and you'll be directed in for the conversation. Like I said earlier, call in. Let's chop it up. Let's talk about this communication or lack of communication, because this topic isn't going nowhere. When you go back and you think about horrible dates you had or relationships, more than likely it has something to do with communication or some fears that you may have lacked, and reason why you didn't communicate or you didn't open up to something you might have had a great fear of. Okay, so number three, if you have to keep telling someone how much you have it going on, you probably don't have much going on. Again, fake business. It's those people that talk about this and that, or they got this going on, they're doing this, they're getting a promotion on their job, they've traveled all over the world, you know, they got all these goals and aspirations, but you don't see much of it. You just listen to them talk, and you want to see results. Because if you're going to sit there and tell somebody something, you better be going somewhere with it. You better show and prove. And a lot of times we get into the situations where, again, people dominate conversations and it's all about them and it's never about the individual that they're with. So somehow, some way, you have to have ability to have a balance with listening and talking. And I think more so than anything, sometimes that's the big struggle that and challenges that we're faced with, that many people just can't balance that out. And again, they're preparing to, they're seeking to kind of reply and not to understand the situation. So they want to be understood, but never understand what the other person is trying to get across. And this stuff is basic 101 conversation that, I tell you, when you look at it, at most people's problems, they'll go back and they'll think about times that they didn't communicate effectively. But the ultimate goal is to work on that. Now, number four, you should not be in competition with your partner or their ex. The ultimate goal is to join forces with that person to build a dream team. Now, we have too many times that we have situations where people are out talking to each other. You realize, like, okay, I got to get my stuff off, because once I let her talk, she's going to just control the whole conversation. And my goal is always to outdo her. And if she's at this level, I need to be at that level. And she told me about her ex, and I damn sure want to make sure that he's not brought up again, because I want to outdo him in whatever the case is. And that should never be the focus. But again, people can say it, I'm confident, I know my worth and all that stuff. Some of that stuff just catchy conversation. It's just like fads and trends. People talk like that. I know my worth, really. Really, and if somebody said, what are you worth? Probably 9 out of 10 people wouldn't even be able to respond or give a legitimate answer. So just stop following memes or copying memes, posting it, and all that stuff, unless you can really answer the stuff if you're challenged on it. And most people were just lucky on social media. You have people that just like put 100 or they like it and stuff like that. But when you, if you start getting challenged on these type of things, then we'll see how effective a communicator you are. So those are my four essential talking points. And I know they're all over the different place covering multiple areas, but if you have something to say or you want to challenge one of them, feel free to come on in, because I hate communicating with just myself. I like interaction because, you know, I'm a man of a few words, believe it or not. So I love to have people that want to have good, engaging conversation. A lot of times there's courageous conversations that must be had. All right, we got somebody. Come on in.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm maintaining. Like I said, weather nice. I know you probably want one of them cold Stellas, but you know I got them little slurpy, little slushy things going on with Hennessy
man,
mixing
ain't nobody
it up.
Want none slurpy or slushy. Okay? Let me get a man's drink. No slurpy, no slushy. That's cool. That is more quenching. Needless to say, having the gift of gab is essential. And it's like you said earlier, you were emphasizing earlier that we are lost in this world now, social media and being on your phone. You have lost the art of really communicating back and forth and looking at a person in the eye and, you know, seeing what their expression is going to be besides an emoji. You know what I'm saying? And it's really crazy, you know, because brothers is wondering why they're not being able to get the woman that they want. And your talk game is on a C-minus level. You know, you got to get it up a little bit.
But the question is, Philly Phil, if I'm an individual and I know my talk game has never been on point, and actually I kind of get nervous when I get in front of a woman that I want, even though they may find me attractive or whatever, but I just clam up. I get lockjaw when I get in their presence. How do I
like
change that?
You can't change that. You just let that be part of your moniker, part of who you are. I mean, if you going for the lady that you trying to get, I mean, it won't matter to her because she's gonna be trying to get you. You know, it's all about opposites attracting, man. It's all about energies attracting energies and forces attracting forces. You know, all this social media mumbo jumbo. You know, you could talk good while the wordy keyboard is in front of you, but what can you do face to face? Tell me that. I have issues.
Okay, I just was, because I know there's some people that struggle with that, and I can, you know, I like to tell little stories here and there, self-disclose. Mm-hmm. You know, I was that quiet person growing up, and I know that's different when you're teenagers and all that stuff, but I had some boys, they talked a good ass game, and when it came to the young ladies. And I remember it was this one young lady, she had liked me. I don't know if I felt the same way, but you know, she was, I guess, decent looking, but she just wasn't my type. And I remember she like spoke to me, and I just, as they say, I didn't have no game. She just was all enthusiastic, like, "Hi, David," and all that stuff, all excited.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, "Hi." And then she was like, "How you doing?" And I'm like, "Good." And I just kind of left it at that. Well, I'm still a man of few words, believe it or not. But I think I got a little more power, and then when I do say something, you're going to listen. But at that time, it was kind of one word, and that was it. So they were just cracking up like, "Dude, where your mouthpiece at, whatever. You should have said more," and all that stuff. And I'm like, dang,
right.
I should have, but it just didn't come out. It just didn't come out. So, you know,
yeah,
I got all types of folk tales
the words
like that.
Hey, man, sometimes the words don't flow as well, and you're not as articulate in the beginning, but you know you need to have those experiences in order to be able to enhance your vocabulary so that you're able to talk and you're able to have interact with a conversation with a woman of the opposite sex, because they already know what they're gonna say. You know, you could go by the first five sentences, like I do. You know, you go by the first five sentences. If the first five sentences ain't right, then you know it's best for you to go ahead on and move on. You know, but you have to understand. You have to understand to get the gab as well as have it also.
So when you say that you go by the first five sentences, are you telling me that you can kind of dissect someone and know from those first five sentences that this is not worth even exploring?
Exactly. Because you already know. No, because you already know where you. 9 times out of 10, you already know where a lady is coming from, and you know, and whatever it is at the house, it's gonna show on. I don't care if she got on Louis Vuitton with Jimmy Choo shoes with the red bottom.
doggone show. It's going to come out. So, I mean, you know, you just have to be, you have to be aware. You have to be alert of the conversation as well as be attentive to listen to what they're saying as well. You know, some of them might be gaming you, you know, be trying to game you to get in that pocketbook. They had a gift of gab also.
Well, I can see right now, it's getting, as you can see, people, it's getting real critical where people are stepping it up. They're analyzing certain things, and you may be on display for your first pretty much paragraph of words, conversation, and that may be
That's
the
right.
deal breaker, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I hate to add more pressure to you, but that's the reality. Like, some people, and they kind of stand by, and that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where they're, that's what they're, that's their like measuring stick. And as we talked about the other show, that may be their test.
Right, but understanding that when you want to learn about the English language, you want to learn about conversation or how to interact with a person, you reach down and you research. You don't just look at your phone. You have to have interaction with people. See, that's the problem. We don't have interaction with other people, and then when we have interaction, we're feeling awkward because they're looking at me and I'm looking at them and I don't know what to say. Of course you know what to say. Just open your mouth. You know, it can either be funny. It could be a crazy. I'm like, hey, I don't know what to talk about. You know, because I'm like that. You know, I'm stuck on social media. Blah 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 blah. You know, that kicks off the conversation. Then you know you can take it from there. You know, but some people that you can take that awkward and turn it into a positive. I always believe that because see, I was always awkward. You know, dude with the glasses, nerd. Hey, I was always awkward, so I took and turned that around. You know, I turned that around and made that to my advantage because it was my advantage. That was how I was able to function and be able to move in a world of the cute girls and the jocks and everybody else. You know, I was able, the nerves was able to move around too. So
yeah, that nerdy intelligent role is beneficial. And I know you had spoken on like vocabulary and stuff before. Hey, that you know, those little one word responses that I used to give. Early in my adolescent stage, end up being different as I got closer to going to college, because then I started talking to people and they were kind of like, oh, your vocabulary is so different than so many of the other guys I talked to. You don't really cuss as much or anything.
Right,
you
because,
actually
because
know how
you learn,
to talk.
Because you learn the language, see. That's what people don't understand. You have to learn the language. You have to understand how the words are pronounced. It's easier than what it looks like. It looks different, but you have to pronounce it different. You know, that's the essentials of having the gift of gab. Because I can hood with the best of them. But when I got it buttoned up and I'm talking to somebody that's got a little bit of money, I know what to say. And I know how to handle myself. See, a lot of people, that's when a lot of people's hands and they just get all sweaty and they look like a ball of sweat because they never had the opportunity. But hey, even if I didn't have the opportunity, I would still know what to do when the opportunity came in front of me. It wouldn't be lost.
Yeah. I always, you know, resort to sports. The great John Wooden said, when that opportunity comes knocking at your door, you better be prepared to answer. And so that even happens, you know, when it comes to employment or even in the dating game. It may be that opportunity that person you've been checking out, and now you're on an elevator with her or whatever the case is. She makes eye contact and speaks to you, and you don't have that little elevator conversation prepared, and you just watching the thing go up and up, and you missed the opportunity, and she seemed to be ready to, you know, engage in good conversation. Then next thing you know, the door opens, and she like,
it happens.
All right,
listen,
take care.
Happens.
Have a nice day.
It happens. You have then you know you got to step your game up, because you know you only have a certain amount of minutes as the elevator goes from one floor to the next. So I mean, you know, you have to, it's all different variables, Dave. All different variables. But understanding, you also have to have just knowing the situation that you're in. And even in relationship, you know, you got to be able to communicate to your partner, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
It's true. And so when, you know, when people see, you know, me post these different situations and scenarios, which may seem so basic, when you start talking to others about it and people have different experiences, it becomes a lot more complex than what you think. It's a lot more deeper than what you think. Communication just isn't words coming out. It's being effective with your words and timely.
Exactly. It's knowing what to say. It's timely. It's the right cadence. You know, everything comes into play when you talking about having the gift of gab. You know, even myself, you know I had the gift of gab, but I had the voice to go with it, so I didn't have to adjust my voice. All I had to do was just learn how to speak. See, that's the difference in talking and knowing how to speak. When you know how to speak, then you can carry on a conversation with people, and they can respect you better.
And now, when you think about it, when I was just saying knowing what to say, I remember my grandmother used to always say, and you just like, okay, she just talking, but she used to always say, you don't know what to say next out your mouth. And I guess she was in her way saying, listen, be careful what you say. It take time and process it before you come out and just saying. And, you know, back then we would think, you know, you got older, like, oh, that's just my grandmother. They ain't educated like that. But the stuff that they say now that you get older and think about it, you're like, damn, wow. She's like, you don't know what to say next. Like, you just talking just to be talking. And the more you talk, you get yourself in trouble. And sometimes guys and women get yourself in trouble in conversations because some women say, sometimes I just sit there, and as soon as he opens his mouth, that's the end of, I know that it's done. So process things before you just start blurting it out, make it seem like you the macho, chest poked out, this and that.
Exactly.
You know, that could be a detriment to going any further in that relationship.
Nah, see, you got to understand. You got to allow the conversation to come from them in order for you to be able to send it back to them. So, you don't be the first to initiate. You know, you could be the first to initiate with the hello, but the conversation comes from them, and that way you can be able to adjust so that you're able to come back with the conversation that pleases them and you. Because I mean, you know, it's all good. You know, it's just chilling. Everybody keeps it so stressed. You know, you're just having a conversation. Come on, I ain't going home with you tonight. We just talking.
Yeah. But again, we go back to it being a lost art, and a lot of people think that they have good conversation or they know how to communicate, and every guy, for whatever reason, especially who grew up in the hood and all that, they think they got game. They think they have conversation.
They ain't got no game.
Yeah, and they don't. No. They don't have zero game
because they never learn from the OGs how to have the game or what to say and how to say it and how to have this scenario happened, and this is what you say. And see, they never go. That's a lost art. That's a lost art. And we lost it through two generations, almost three generations that lost it. You know, and that's why these young dudes out here don't know how to talk to nobody, and they don't know how to interact with their peers, or even have a conversation with a lady. Hey, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? I wasn't trying to hit on you. I was just trying to see how you was doing. I wasn't trying to hit on you. I just wanted to know how you was doing. You know,
And I think, like I said, I always, you know, try to think back to situations when I was younger, and you talk about, like I said, every guy from growing up in the hood thought they had game and they had conversation. And I remember being bold enough to tell some of the guys, I was like, the difference between you and I is, yeah, y'all out in the streets, y'all making money, I'm broke as hell, y'all got cars and stuff like that, that of course back, you know, women would gravitate towards that, to be riding around in a nice car and all that. I said, but understand this, that my conversation level was over, y'all. I said, the same girls that you pulling in your Cadillac, your L Dog with the bold truths and bolds, and all that, I can catch
truths
on a bike.
And
yeah, I said, I could catch on a bike. Yeah. They had no choice but to respect it, because after that, they're like, I say, because it's the conversation piece and the element that I bring to the table, and I'm not trying to toot my horn, but this is just real conversation.
Listen,
that used to, you know, happen.
Listen, talking is essential to life. And see, people don't understand. They think that phone is essential. Nah, you got to be able to talk to people and be able to interact and communicate, and that's how life goes on. People don't, it goes deeper than that phone. You need to be able to put the phone down and be able to look people in the eye and talk to them. That's why they had these jobs where you have to be interpersonal with people. So now you have to learn how to talk to them. So now I need to open up, OGs need to open up that class for etiquette for the brothers, so they know how to talk to these girls and know how to be able to have courtship and stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is, man.
And prime example, one of my buddies has shared with me, he is like, yo, dude, he is like, man, like, you know, you go out now with a young lady and you go out to a restaurant, you know, everybody has their phones out and no one's really talking. And he was saying, and I just happen to be, he's like, you know how we get down, we crack jokes and stuff like that. And he said, man, you know, he's out on a little date with a young lady. He's like, and we over at our table cracking up. I mean, laughing and all that stuff. And he said he happens to get a text message from somebody in the restaurant, another female who was out with some of her female buddies, and I guess he didn't see, you know, she must have been a couple tables over. He said she texted him and was like, man, seemed like you and her having a good time. Like, he was like, I'm thinking, like, the hell is this coming from? But I guess the moral of the story was he knew how to engage the person that he was with, that they're laughing, they're tee-heeing, and the other woman observed, they're like, well, damn, like, I guess she used to being out with someone at dinner or whatever, and it was mainly they're going through Facebook or social media, and there's little dialogue. So she had to reach out to him.
That's just like me and Lady Jazz when we be out. Well, we be interacting and talking to each other and laughing, and people be looking up like and looking at us like, well, what are y'all doing or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is what we do. We put our phones up. You know what I'm saying? We talk to each other. We look in each other's eyes and all that other goofy stuff. You know what I'm saying? But it's part of having that gift of gab, because she had a gift of gab also. So I mean, you know, so it's all interaction with the person that you care about. You know, you gotta be able to talk to somebody. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be able to talk.
Yeah. And it's essential, and people need to understand that wherever you go or whatever angle you take, that although we have all this, these new means of communication, you still, the old form of communication, still, you still need to have that. You still
ain't no, it ain't going nowhere. Let's say that it ain't going nowhere. Let's say that.
So we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna come back and you know, I'm gonna talk a little more scenarios and situations about gifted gab goes a long way. And you're listening to Cocktail Conversations on QLJN. Radio.com, the hot new Q, and we'll be back momentarily. And you're listening to your boy, the Controversial Counselor.
Things are different when you're out with your buddies.
Let's go back to your family.
Wait a minute, hold on. Get your ass
what's
out.
What's up, nigga?
Let's get over there.
What's going on?
Shit.
Yo, punk ass nigga. Come here.
God damn it, you stop that shit, no,
you
fucking
man.
Don't tell me
that.
Don't tell me that.
Now,
wait a minute. Hey, man.
What's up?
Wait a minute.
Man,
wait a minute.
Give me that beat, fool. It's a full-time jack move. Chili Joe, yo, homie, make the track move. And I'm back anytime, Dick and Hank. That's the name of the suckers I done janked. I get away from a copper. Drop a dime, I break you off something proper. With the L-E-N-C-H-M-O-B. Keep on in that J-D. And here's how we'll greet ya. Stop, fool. Come on, that beat ya. Feel dumb cause you're caught in the dark. You little nothing ass, Mark. Raise up. Cause you can't have it back. You say, I ain't never got kept like that. Off the end of the gadget show, show dogs in a half.
What up, bro?
Nothing but a come up. Give me that tape and don't try to run up. Cause you'll get banked some sweet ice cube in a lynch mob. It's taking for
me. Right there. Afraid of nothing.
Conversations, and tonight topic is gifted gab goes a long way. And you know, I had talked about earlier where this topic had came from, and it came from, if you're just tuning in, from a situation where I posted a scenario saying there's no need for men to, you know, based on like the Bill Cosby situation, there's no need for a man to drug or get a woman drunk, especially when you made it to that step of either getting to their home or they're coming to see you. All you need is gifted gab to scrape the bottom of that pudding cup. And so, which led to a couple females really not feeling that statement. But once I, you know, one of them said, you know, well, clearly that these females or whoever are shallow, it's going to take more than that. But of course, they only look at the here and now at that particular situation. All they saw in their head was almost, I guess, a one night stand. You get them to come over, and then it takes place instead of saying, I guess it could be a duration of time where you have good conversation, you get the person to, you know, eventually come over, and, you know, things transpire, but they only couldn't think outside the box. Y'all know who y'all are. And without me saying anything, what I should have started doing is calling out initials and things like that. Then people, well, let me go back to the post and see what initials is that. I bet you people would have been calling off the hook. But we have somebody coming in, so come on in.
Hell, man, that line kills me every time I hear it, man. Scraping the bottom of that pudding cup. I don't know if it was a Bill Cosby reference or a cervix reference, but
what's going on, Big Bad Wolf, man?
Man, these 9 to 5 sisters kicking my behind, man. Shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Man.
Do you like a cocktail, whatever the hut?
Whatever's in the well, right? Well, actually, let me get some of that Bombay straight up, man. That's sapphire.
All right.
Straight up, man. Women seem, well, let me not start off by speaking towards the fair gender. I don't want anybody to think I'm attacking anyone. Heaven knows I've been called chauvinist more than enough times. But let me start off by saying this. We as a demographic, we tend to be led like myself by the Pied Piper. We like people that can speak well. We like people that can incite emotion within us. They can light a fire. They can stoke that fire. They can raise our spirits. They can lower them, all with the tune of their voice. And I made reference in the post that you're talking about Baptist preachers.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the black people who are well spoken. Former President Obama, Dr. Martin Luther King. We can go back to Frederick Douglass. Those men incite spiritualness in people because they can command the room with their voice. And there's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more powerful that a person possesses than the spirit to be able to woo a crowd with just their voice.
Exactly.
Gangsta actually made a song entitled "The Voice." Some of y'all might want to go check that out. He talks about it at length in a song. So a lot of people don't understand. It's just like you mentioned before the break, David, about the ability to be able to sit down and actually have a conversation with somebody without picking up your phone.
Oh, that's a lost art, man. That's a lost art. We don't do that no more.
It's shameful. I mean, it's almost going the way of writing a letter, putting a stamp on it, and sending it to someone. Everybody wants instant gratification now. You know, they don't want to sit there and think about nothing. They don't want to sit there and engage in critical thought. Everything has got to be instant. Everything has got to be immediate. You know, you can't sit there and reason with somebody or try and figure something out or engage in some dialogue, whether you're right, the other individual is right, or y'all just disagree or something, and move on about your ways. You'll come back and say, you know what, that was nice. We're going to do this again. It's really indicative of the way our society is going. You look at all the things that used to be a cohesive force in America, family, wholesome television shows where you don't have to worry about unnecessary nudity, All that stuff is just seemed to have gone by the wayside over the last generation. And I don't know if that's due to the way kids are being raised or just social influences and the way the media is pushing the envelope when it comes to...
It's social influence that's shaping them, man, because you can't put it like... It's like back in the day, you know, when we was little, you know, you could put us in front of the TV and we'd be learning something. Whereas now they ain't learning nothing, and you know the powers that be is just playing happy with it because they can just take and do what they want to with their brain. So I mean, you know, it's crazy.
Well, the American culture not only is it being exploited for profit, it's being marketed worldwide. So we start to see places emulating American culture where that was never a problem. So we asked, how is it? Because I just watched a video. It was about a 20-minute video with a pastor, and I don't know where the gentleman was from. And he was speaking about the influence of American culture that's permeating certain countries in Africa, and those women who have never set foot in America are being influenced by American culture to their detriment.
Are you serious?
I'll have to forward you the link so you can watch the video, and he is spot on with everything he is speaking about. And we have to look at the two biggest societies and the two biggest cultures in the world and how they do not fall victim to westernized culture. That's India and China. They are patriarchy all the way down. And if anyone gets out of line, they are ostracized. No questions asked. No fucks given. You're gone.
Wow.
But it's that type of rigid form that keeps those societies from disintegrating and falling into the abyss that Americans falling into. If we look at America over the last 100 years, there are very few things that we would be proud of post-1960. I said very few compared to what we'd be ashamed of.
Right, exactly. But you know, we come a long way, but technology is not giving us the opportunity to go ahead and go forward. Even myself, I come across one of my live passengers. Her son is going to be graduating a biochemist. I'm like, yeah, we need those type of people in the world today because, you know, we don't have that. Everybody trying to be a doggone basketball player
But that's why I mentioned India and China. Between those two countries, they have over 2 billion people. It's not happening in America, but it's happening there. India is becoming a major force in the STEM industry. China is making power moves in the tech industry. America is slowly being left behind. We already have lost manufacturing, which was the backbone of our society. That's how people were able to get those techies.
Yeah, it could have been. They doggone saw outsourcing that stuff, man. That's what messed that up.
But when we think about behavior, and I know overall they're not, you do see these children from India and China that they're representing their urban culture. They have picked up on that. I mean, I even, you know, you see it in the schools and you say to yourself, you know, damn well, if I call home, your ass is going to be grass. But they emulate behaviors from, you know, like some of the inner city kids and urban and stuff like that. So we have a lot of power. We have definitely a major influence on other cultures, but sometimes we just don't use it to our advantage.
Yeah, the only influence that we have on other cultures right now is what we did, hip hop and urban did for us back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, in the 2000s. Other than that, they're not embracing. They're not embracing our culture as a black, as far as a black culture.
They only
embrace what we did as far as the stuff that enriched us and made us grow to where we are now. But right now it's just like, I don't know what's going on with them. But you know, but back in the day, y'all, they had their head on their shoulders and things were working pretty good. But you know, once we got tainted with corporate America, it just kind of fizzled all of the out.
Well, corporate America has when you mentioned the hip hop and all of that movement, corporate America has ran with that as well. And I remember going to in service workshop down in New Orleans like years ago, and it was a black guy speaking, older guy, and he said, moving forward, if you don't understand hip hop, you will not be able to work with children. And I always, that was so profound, and I think about it because, we're in that generation where, that hip-hop has so much influence, and the people that don't understand it, they have horrible relationships with kids. They don't understand the language. They don't understand just the overall affect of the whole thing. Yeah, you have to be in tune. I remember when I first moved to Baltimore, one of the department chair of my counseling, she said she actually listens to the radio thing and try to pick up on certain things and terminology when she's talking with kids. I'm like, how is that working for you? Because that's not going to do it.
I can't see myself listening to a lot of this stuff that the younger generation listens to. And it's not because I don't like it. It's because it's unintelligible to me. And I listen to just about every type of music going, whether it's hip-hop, rap, classical music, bluegrass, ragtime, pan flute, even Asian music. I listen to it all, but my whole thing is it has to have lyrical content. If it doesn't have lyrical content, I can't abide by it. And another thing, to follow what y'all were speaking about earlier, China has banned rap music. They consider it dangerous and a potential destructive force to their country. They have banned it. You can't listen to it or tune it in at all. And that came down about a month or two ago. And I said, I can't blame them. I said, I look at rap and hip-hop from when I was in my early teens to what it is now. And I'm like, it's like the direction has been lost. Hip-hop used to be a voice to bring exposure to the plight of the inner city. And now it's just being exploited.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, most definitely.
And to me,
it's not designed because that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted to do. They seen it as lucrative, and they seen it as business wise. They seen it as a money maker, and you know they seen how people gravitated towards it. So see, now they put their fingers in, and they tainted it so bad that it's no good. It's no good that more now independent is the way to go. So see, they done created another entity that's gonna make music back good again because of the independent. You know, so you just gotta. But it all goes back. It all goes back to having something to say on a record,
right.
Or having something to say. Period.
And I was just gonna say that. I was gonna say, and that brings it back to full circle to the communication nowadays. A lot of males that don't have the influence that you gentlemen were speaking about earlier in terms of teaching them how to speak to women or what to say and when not to say something, that all comes back to the music and the cultural influence, where they're being told, you don't have to say anything. All you have to do is have money, have a smile, and this and that, and she's going to come to you. But what happens when you open your mouth and you got to formulate some sentences to get beyond the initial statement? She's like, yo, this dude got nothing to say. He's all class, no substance. They're going to weed you out quick. And I don't know if it's true. I've heard both sides that within 5 minutes of meeting a woman has already decided whether or not you're sex worthy. Now, I don't. I've heard women say yes.
I don't know. I don't know too many females living by that rule, because you know, even when I was available, it wasn't happening to me. So
No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're putting it out there. I'm saying they already have made up in their mind.
Yeah, for real.
And I think that's the key thing, that they already know, but they might not voice it, but they already know that. If he plays his cards right, he will scrape the bottom of this pudding cup twice.
but that's why you hear a lot of women say, you know what, he was good till he opened his mouth. That's why on a lot of women's list about a man is they want somebody that can make them laugh. And if you can't put together a critical thought, if you can't put together a funny thought, you're done in a lot of women's books.
Yeah, exactly, because they ain't trying to hear you. You can't make them laugh.
No. Oh, girl, he boring. He can't say nothing. I just need to sit there and look at him. Just, I'm about to pick up my phone. And once that happens, the whole thing starts to disintegrate. It's like the yarn in the sweater. When you start to pull it, eventually you got nothing but a big old long string.
And that's so true with the laughter. And, you know, I'll never mention names, whatever, but I had a partner like that. One of my buddies, to me, still one of the funniest people in the world. And no matter what, whenever he was around and, you know, you had cocktails going on and he was cracking jokes, he commanded that they would just want to be around, and they would just, especially in college. And he didn't go to the school, but they thought he was enrolled because he would be up there on a regular basis just hanging out with me. And some of these people are like, oh, I'm not going home this weekend. Dave, is your buddy coming up here? Is your crew coming up there? Because the laughter and everything, it was so powerful. And that's an element that people don't consider, that sense of humor, being able to have that, to be able to crack jokes and make someone laugh. Because, to be honest, that's therapeutic. That's a good feeling. There's nothing better than a good laugh, especially one of them ones that tears come out your eyes. You're like, man, you feel like the world has been lifted off your shoulder.
And, you know, I wish we could. You know, the funny thing is, I didn't actually go to college right out of high school. I had a couple cats that I was dealing with. And, after I would work during the week, I would go up the campus and just hang out on the weekends. Uh-huh. And I wish we could actually get more of our youth to actually just step foot on the college campus so they understand what that environment is like. Because everybody's not cut out from college. I mean, we got some people that are better suited for trade just because they're geared for it. But there's no experience like the college experience, just for the simple fact that you actually understand what it means to be responsible. And it's in those years in college where you understand that you have to put aside some time to do things that are going to propel you later in life. Not saying that you can't have fun, it's just saying you have to have fun within limits. Because I think nowadays we see a lot of the younger generation, they don't take stuff serious enough in a timely manner. And I've seen that, you know, with some of the kids that I mentor. You know, we had an AAU basketball team together. We were speaking to them. And most of my, or all of my, between the ages of 15 and 17. So I sat down and I had an eye to eye with him. I said, what are y'all fellas going to do when you age out of high school and you turn 21 and your mother's saying, you know what, you're too old to be living with me, and she puts you out of the house? How are you going to survive and make a living when you can't fill out a job application? What are you going to do? And true to form, most of them said, we're going to turn to the street. And I said, how long do you think that's going to last? So that's why it becomes imperative that the youth understand the value of education, particularly English, because learning English is the bedrock for a lot of other things, especially when I really didn't understand that until I started taking French and now with the ASL class that I'm taking, and it's funny how speaking what's been termed as Ebonics has actually helped me in ASL, because a lot of what we spoke in terms of broken English growing up is how ASL was formed. And I was just like, yo, this is wild. But none of that can be learned unless you understand the art of the conversation. Like, I sit in class and I crack jokes. And because I missed so much time, I'm not where I should be. Certainly not where I was when I started ASL. When I first started ASL, I was great and smooth. Now I regret because I missed so much time doing various things. But communication on every level is important. You know, whether you communicate with your coworkers, somebody on the street, your peers, your mate, your friends, you can avoid so much consternation by talking. Yeah. There are people being able to talk their way out of fight just by being able to speak eloquently, or certainly to a point that illustrates that, look, I might be small, but if you put your hands on me, we're going to get into a dog fight, and you're not going to merge this game.
And that, you know, and all of that is so true and so valuable when you think about that. Like when you talked about the experience of college and the communication, I often think about when I had graduated and my siblings, Carlos, Dietrich, my sister Tasha, they all went to the same school, Buff State, and I would go up there. You know, I would come up there. I wasn't much older than, but I would come up there, and you start thinking about responsibility and meal plans and all that.
Ooh.
And I would come up there, and you know, they're like, "Well, we about to go to dinner or whatever the case is." For whatever reason, my sister always had money on her thing. Dietrich, if you listening, you can call in. Y'all never had nothing on y'all account. I'm like, damn, so could y'all get y'all big brother a slice of pizza or something? And like, man, we're going to have to call Tasha, whatever. And I think she got something on her, but I don't know what the hell they was doing with their meal plan.
Well,
granted,
I knew that Buff State that had three meal plans. They had one that was $6.80, they had one that was like $7.50, then they had one that was $8.50. The fellas always ate more than the females at Ball State. It was just a thing. I don't know whether it was the fact that we just burn more calories or if we participated in intramurals or whatever it was. It always came down to the end of the semester, like the last 4 weeks, man. You nursing that out, man. It was just critical. And I was thankful that I learned to cook, and I actually had a part-time job on the weekend, so I would always head across
and
cause Grant to
top
to be able to come back with some things,
man,
but the end of the semester was brutal,
right? And I understand that, but I think the substantial amount of the difference, they'll say that my sister came home on the weekends and she wasn't around, but I don't know, maybe they was feeding some women or something during that time, and they was doubling up on their meal plans. But all I know is, if I wanted to come up there and get a meal, we had to go through my sister. I would have to come out my pocket. So when you think about that communication and things like that, you know, college is a good place to start with that, as far as responsibility.
Nah, man, get you go to that school of hard knocks, baby. graduate from school of hard knocks, man. Cause, I mean, don't get me wrong. I went to vocational school, so I mean, you know what I'm saying? I got a couple of trades, so I ain't knocking nobody. I mean, I just wasn't ready. I mean, college wasn't my thing, cause I wanted to work with my hands. So, you know, I had to take another route. So. I was already in the street, so I had to turn that thing around.
But even though you're a blue collar man, this is the thing about education in college. You can always go non-matriculated to a school and take an English course, whether it be English Lit, a writing course. Those things are always available to you, and those classes alone will help you improve the ability to communicate. And this takes me back to when I used to go to Toronto, there was a couple brothers who used to stand out in front of the Eaton Center. They were twins. And I can't remember what their names were, but these boys used to put on a show. And they would have literally about 200 or 300 people around them. And the skit was about 10-15 minutes long. And it wasn't just their ability to act, it was their ability to communicate and interact with the crowd that would get these boys about $600-700 a day.
Exactly.
Because that's that
gift of gab. See, it's essential that we learn as individuals, or people learn as individuals to learn how to speak, learn how to talk to somebody.
It's a lost art, man.
Listen. Put your freaking phone down. Could you do that? You ain't even got. You can already look at your phone and unlock it. Okay. All right. Well, how about you put that joker down for a minute and have a conversation with me? You know, talk to me. Tell me how your day was. You know what I'm saying? What made you mad? What got you sad? What made you happy? What went on today? I know you weren't just looking at your phone all day. Come on. Give me a break.
Man,
that's what you be looking down, and that's when you miss some great stuff while you looking down at that phone.
The sad thing is that what a lot of people's life have evolved into. It's just that. They don't know how to interact with people. They've got to the point where they become antisocial, and that's not necessarily something that they want. It's just something that just happened to them just by the sheer fact of the way society is going. So much is predicated on them. Like now, at the new job I have, my work is texting me. And I'm just like, yo, that's just crazy. I'm used to going back in the office or wherever the schedule is and looking at the schedule, maybe talking to somebody about switching the day. Nowadays, everything is communicated through text. And I'm just like, what are we coming to as a society when it's more important to be able to send somebody a message? Like everything that's sent in the office is a text. You don't pick up the phone. Uh-huh. You don't get out your cubicle. You don't go to the office.
Did you get my email? Nah, I didn't get your email. You could have just came on over. You were 3 cubicles away from me. You could have just came on over here and told me what you was going to tell me.
That's because people look for a paper trail. They look for a paper trail.
So I responded. They want to know if I responded. So yes, I responded. So now we'll come up with a solution.
We live in a kind of, I'm trying to think of the correct thing, like...
we live in a technology
like kinda,
world.
It's technology,
killing us,
but kind of like, I got you type of thing, me saying we conversated face-to-face ain't good enough, but if I send you an email and I saw that you read it and all that, you knew about
that's
it.
That's documented.
So it's kind of like people trying to catch people out there or whatever, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Because people don't understand mathematics, and I just said this on somebody else's post, that it's enough to go around for all of us. We don't have to kill. We don't have to try to cut nobody's throat to kind of get a position. There's enough money or stuff to get around. Although people say, oh, no, it's a shortage of this and that, and you want to be cutthroat.
But there's
enough to go around.
That's the thing about having the gift of gab. You got to talk to the right people. See, if you want to hang down, there with all them bottom feeders, you can hang down there with them. But you got to be able to adjust your vocabulary so that you can come on up and at least talk to a few CEOs, few company owners, few business owners about a business plan that you got. You know, that's just my thing. You know, I was always able to speak and enunciate my words so that somebody could get the gist of what I was saying.
I tell you what, boy. For me, there's been two things that have actually forced me to become a better public speaker. One was doing live theater, and the second, and I think the most underrated thing was running for public office. Because in those two realms, you're in front of people that don't know you, don't know anything about you, and they're judging you more so on how you sound as opposed to what they're talking about.
Right.
So for me, exactly. that has really forced me, you know, to always be cognizant of what I say and how I say it. Because now with my current job and the jobs that I had before, I'm always speaking to the public, and I'm speaking to people that don't know anything about me other than they need some information. They want it quickly so they can be on their way. So I have to be able to give somebody concise directions to get to point A without getting them lost. And I tell people that's something I pride myself in. I pride myself in being able to be understood, even by people whose primary language isn't English. And that's difficult.
Do your thing, bro.
Hey.
Yeah. Communication is, you know, it's always going to be vital. Whether, you know, you have the gifted gab, you charming, charismatic, or whatever the case is, you have to find your niche and you have to be able to work it. And people even have to understand, even far as job interviews and things like that. The ultimate goal, bottom line is you're selling yourself in job situations, even in college when you one-on-one with professors and you dealing with them, and relationships, dating, all that stuff. You're trying to show the world you're the best person for that particular position or time and place, whatever you're trying to accomplish. So you have to be you. You have to be authentic. You have to be genuine. You have to be you. There's no need to fake it or try to change up your voice to sound like this and that. Just be you. People can see through that and they know, like, man, he's himself. He is who he is. And you get respect for those merits of being who you are. Where a lot of people fake it and on front, and then that mask peels off, and then they're like, he was a fraud.
Mm-hmm. And I'll give people another tidbit that struggle with communication, whether it's interpersonal communication, business, or the other myriads of communication that you're using in life. Right. I know it sounds funny, and I know it sounds counterintuitive, but write your thoughts down. Come back and read them and ask yourself, is this really what I was thinking? And if it isn't to your liking, then tighten it up. And I know this is going to sound like a cliche, but open a dictionary. Use a thesaurus. Diversify your ability to use different words so you can fine-tune what it is that you want to communicate. Because you might actually see somebody something about the English language that they didn't know. You might be able to lift another person up to say, you know what? Oh, this person is good with their vocabulary. They're outstanding. You know, I'm sitting there listening to them, and I'm like, wow, this person really speaks well. They speak intelligently, concisely. They don't struggle to find words. They can string together sentences. You know, I can sit there and listen to this person speak all night. And that's what we talk about. When we talk about communication, there are some women who are just wowed by the fact that a man can actually sit there and speak at length and not sound like a stammering idiot. And I know that's going to sound, you know, kind of nervous and bookwormish to a lot of people out there listening. Nobody listens to a person speak like that. Believe it or not, people get paid to speak. They're called motivational speakers. And that's why they can earn the money doing what they do, because they can speak well. Good money.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And yeah, writing, that's definitely more so than anything a lost art, because people, you know, you look at writing and stuff like that, you say it's boring, it's so many rules to writing, or a comma goes here and this and that, and you just have to the more you read, the better writer that you become. And in this day and age, you have people that can edit and proofread different things, that they kind of master the rules of writing. And just being who you are and just putting out that effort goes a long way. And which brings me to this point. The art of storytelling is one of the greatest ways to communicate. And actually, that is probably a movement in businesses and different things. People who can tell a story and tell, you know, where they came from, what are they trying to do. And it's something about that. But the younger generation of kids, they don't buy into that. I always used to love when I was in a class with a teacher and they would be able to add a personal reference to whatever we were talking about. That would kind of lock me in. But now these young people, all they do is talk about this. I don't care about what happened this weekend. Like, yeah, I don't get it. Like, that, if you're bored with the content, that's least killing time.
Right.
You're learning something else, but I always enjoyed it. Young people today, they just don't like the curriculum because it's boring, but they don't like a teacher to kind of share personal references. But the way it's going, the way I see stuff on social media like LinkedIn and all that, the art of storytelling is kind of big. Motivational speaking, and also in the business platform.
Slick Rick had an album named just that, The Art of Storytelling. But, you know, this is funny. I was conversing with a young lady online, and her issue was she thought she was a boring person. So what I told her is this. I said, write your own obituary. And I know this is going to come across as crazy to people, but if you find yourself not having anything to talk about with somebody else, sit down and write your obituary. Sit down and write what you have done in your life, what you find interesting, what you find dull. And I guarantee you, in doing that, you will find out and discover things about yourself that you may wish to explore that will help you develop as a better and more rounded person, and it'll help you seek out things to make you want to improve yourself, because you'll find out where your deficiencies are. I have yet to do it, but that's something that's on my list of things that I want to write about in terms of just myself. I'm writing my obituary and things of that nature. Like I said, I know nobody wants to focus on death. We all got to go that route someday. So write your own obituary and learn about yourself.
Well, I can tell you what some of these obituaries that I've been reading, it's like people just like pulling teeth to come up with something. Oh, they had a good time with family and they got this, such and such. There's nothing. It's just like straight up and down. And I'm like, wow. So you always wonder, like, when you have those dots, like from born in 19 such and such to whatever, you got to make it plentiful in between things that you have done and accomplished. And that's called building your legacy, which
mm-hmm.
some people don't understand having a good, you know, a strong legacy. And if you don't, it's time to start working on it at this time.
Absolutely.
To make changes and leave your children something behind or give them something to people to talk about. Oh, your dad did this and did that. Make them proud. You just don't want to be somebody, oh, they had a good time. They had a good time. They love being around friends and family. What that says when I read that, you really didn't do anything, unfortunately.
And you know what the funny thing is? I look at my life now as a 46-year-old man, and I look back on the things I did, and I'm proud of my accomplishments and my failures, because it's in my failures that I've been defined in the eyes of a lot of people. Like, I probably failed at some of the things that I wanted to really succeed at, and there are some things that I'm still trying to put together. But I can sit down. If I were to die tonight, if I didn't wake up tomorrow, there would be nobody to say, you know what, this dude didn't do anything with his life. He was no good. He didn't leave anything. Nobody's gonna ever know. I don't have to worry about that. you know, from high school on to college on to my adult life, there will be people who will say, yeah, you know him? He did this, he did that. Oh, I didn't know he was active in this. I didn't know he was active in that. I tell people, I've led a full life as far as I'm concerned. I've been places, I've done things, I've talked to people from just about every corner of this planet, and you know, through jobs and just through casual conversation, and I thoroughly enjoy it. Like today, I happened to, you know, come across a vegan from Toronto, and I was poking fun at her about her color being blue because I thought she was a Bills fan because she was using a Bills credit card to pay, and come to find out she's not. You know, but I said, you know, I'm intimately familiar with Toronto because I spent a lot of time there. And, you know, for some people, oh, that ain't traveling. Hey, look, there's a lot of people that can't get into Canada for one reason or another. But, you know, for me, it's in my backyard.
Yeah, that's true. Well, gang, the time has came. Great conversation always. And it's never, to me, you always want to hear more opinions and things like that. It's never about the how many people, if it was 30 people, sometimes it may be two or three, but the quality of good communication and what the people that come on the show talk about that add worth and have you thinking, that you know, that's amazing in itself. So I want to thank Philly Phil, Herb the Big Bad Wolf, for coming on and being a part of Gift the Gab. Goes a long way. And if you don't get it now, you will get what we were talking about tonight. So with that said, you know, just keep talking, keep communicating, trying to be the best that you can be. Be genuine, be authentic. Always bet you're a lifelong learner. And no matter how many degrees you got or whatever your situation is, you can always learn from anyone at any time. With that said, I'm out. Thank you for all the people that tuned in to listen. See you next week, and everybody enjoy the rest of their week. Peace.
Years of automotive excellence. Over 100,000 patents. At Mercedes-Benz, we've always been a company of breakthrough innovation, of expert care, superior service. And for decade after decade, our master certified technicians have been the driving force behind keeping our cars running at peak performance. Now, it's time to discover what they can do for you. Visit your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.